Keep It Classy is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you.
Yes! Oh, I got so much more for you! Chris, I got so much more! Turn around! Turn around! Yeah!
I can't believe he turned around!
Yeah, bitch! You's a dead motherfucker now!
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Keep It Classy, your first stop for all things fighting games. Now listen, if you like the podcast, feel free to check out our website at keepitclassy.podbean.com or drop us a line, keepitclassypodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Well, you are listening to Keep It Classy, and we are so happy to have you back. We had a great response to our first podcast, and you guys sent us some great questions over email, and we're happy to answer them. We're happy you guys are having a good time out there with our podcast. I, of course, am Keith Barletta, a.k.a. Pockbell. I'm here with my buddy David Ivy, a.k.a. Savage.
Hey, hello, hello.
And we're here to talk to you guys about fighting games. If you don't know about the podcast, we like to do a three-part process, talking about news, game design, philosophies behind the games, and then we like to do a little Q&A, and we like to do our character of the week. So this week, what you can expect, we're going to talk a little bit about the merger between MLG, DreamHack, and ESL. It's huge news for the fighting game community. We're going to give you a preview for Gods Among Us. We're going to talk on our main topic about how one picks their main character in a fighting game, what our main characters are. We'll give you some examples. And we're going to talk a little bit about rushdown versus zoning characters and that kind of a thing. And then finally, our character of the week this week is going to be Dr. Doom, the man of stuff.
My dog.
From Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3, hidden missiles, laser beams. You guys are excited. I can hear it over the internet. So let's just jump right in. Actually, before we start, I wanted to say something because we had a lot of response about people talking terminology, saying, "Oh, well, you know, we didn't really understand some of the things you guys were talking about last time." And one of the main concerns we got, or one of the main questions we got, was what are frames and what is frame data? So since it's something we're going to reference, we're going to try and be really good about defining terms as we go through. And so we're going to start with frame data before we jump in because we know we're going to talk about it later on in the podcast. So frames, a frame is short for a still image. So if you think of a picture of a one-on-one, Ryu versus Ken, a frame, for example, is Ryu with his fist fully extended. And what it basically means in technical terms is that there's a couple of numbers associated with each move that a character has, which are startup frames, and then the frames when the move is active, so active frames, and then recovery frames. So basically, think about it like this. When you push Ryu's heavy punch, it takes 3 frames for it to start, 5 frames for it to stay active, 1 frame for it to recover. What that means is it's going to take 3 FPS, so frames per second normally functions at 30 frames per second, so it takes, it takes 3.
You do the math.
Yeah, it takes you. So basically what we're talking about when we talk about frame data is how quickly a move comes out and how quickly after one does a move, the character is able to move and do what they want to do again. So, cutting through all the technical jargon, it basically means if a move has a high amount of frames, it means different things. So if they have high activation frames, it means it's a long time for the move to come out. If they have high activation frame, or if they have high active frames, it means the move is out for a long time. If they have high recovery frames, it means it takes a long time for the move to recover. The more frames that it has, whenever we reference whatever part of the move we're talking about, it just means longer, so to speak. So when we say, Hurricane Kick has 15 recovery frames, it means it's going to take 15 frames, so about half a second, for you to recover after you are done doing the move. So that's a pretty good way to kind of get you started. There's obviously some, it's obviously a little more technical than that, but when we talk about it, that's a good way to think about it, is how long a move, it takes for a move to start, how long a move is active and is able to damage someone for, and how long it takes after the move has happened for the character to recover and be able to do other moves and move around. So, yeah, so that aside, let's talk about the big merger. The big news on MLG's website, they talk about a merger between MLG, DreamHack, and ESL. This is huge. This is a big friggin' deal.
I'm crazy fucking excited because, you know what it is like, could you imagine if the NFL was broken up into four bullshit leagues and then you had to try and see who was the best? But if they all merge together, it's kind of like they're getting closer to being a legitimate sport. Like, they're trying to be the NBA of like gaming league, and that would be amazing.
And the cool part about it is, so if you haven't guessed, all those three companies we just talked about, they do streaming, they host tournaments, they have merchandise, they do, and it's not just for fighting games. They do it for League of Legends and StarCraft and all these different things. And they are, like Savage said, they're like the NFL of video games. You know, esports is a pretty big deal now, and we've got a lot of cool things coming our way. And these are various leagues, I guess you could say. So DreamHack, Electronic Sports League, and Major League Gaming is what it all stands for. The cool part about this is, and I like the analogy you gave, Savage, because, I mean, think about it like this. So, not only four different leagues, but all the teams that are playing only play in certain leagues at certain times. And so you have to follow all four leagues. And sometimes, you know, one game is playing at the same time as another. You know, sometimes one tournament is playing at the same time as another, or it's happening at a weird time because it's, you know, across the country, or it's in Japan, or it's, you know, this, that, or the other thing. So let's, and that's terrible, right? If you
want it's
tournaments.
It's the worst. Like I said, when God, I hate to keep referencing these assholes, but it's like League was promising in their third season that they're gonna have weekly teams versus teams like a football game. If MLG can pull something like that off, it will be amazing. Like, because I miss football because the way I work, I don't get a chance to watch it, but. Get up Saturday morning and spend all Saturday watching football, and then Monday nights watching football used to be a great pastime of mine because I knew on a regular basis I can see either the team I wanted to see or teams I wanted to see lose play Saturday and Monday and just watch it. But when it comes to most esports, it comes to like every now, you know what? It comes to a Facebook post. Someone goes, "Did you see this?" I'm like, "Oh shit, that's happening right now!" And then I watch the last of it. And then if I'm drunk one day, I'll watch the video on demand version of it later. And that's no good.
It's no good if you want to follow the scene. And so let's talk a little bit about what this means for the scene, right? So these three come together. They're merging. First of all, we talked about, you know, having something, a higher form of media, television, film, and that kind of stuff. This is the first step towards that. Having one dedicated league, for not just fighting games, for a lot of different esports. Like, it's a big deal to have all these guys come together because, and they have the list here, we have a universal ranking system. That's going to be that they've promised us, which means you're going to be able to look at a tournament and look at a player, and it's kind of hard, you know, you like look at players and one guy wins one tournament, another guy wins another tournament, and you can't really tell who's. I mean, we want rankings, right? We want those numbers, those random.
You
want
to know who's
really
the guy to beat.
Yeah, you want to know who's on top, and you want to know who's really an up and comer. You don't really get that when you just see. I mean, if you follow the scene, you see the same people over and over again. But you don't really get to see who struggled to get there, who's having a hard year. You know, you don't get to see it like you were watching a sports event. And that's huge. You get to see, you get to see where Justin Wong is in terms of the world scene, right? Like in terms of all these tournaments that these guys run, you know, what his percent win ratio is. And that's the other thing is you can start talking stats while the cast is going on.
That is so insanely important because I never realized it until like I went to Vegas and we saw a league tournament and a StarCraft tournament, and in StarCraft they had stats of how much prize money, what their win and loss ratio towards different races was, and like all these other stats for each player that played. Those stats were colored by whole interpretation of the match. So I'm like, oh man, this guy has a hard time against Terran, and this guy has a great time against Zerg. Who's gonna win? And this dude's won like 150 grand, and this dude's only won 50 grand, so this guy wants it more than the other guy. It makes you that much more excited for the fucking match.
And like, not only that, but we have, what that means is that it's more accessible to new players, right?
Exactly.
You can walk into a match, you get basic stats, you can get things that, you know, someone who doesn't even think twice about it may just catch it, you know, on YouTube or this, that, or the other thing, can see, oh, this is, you know, they can see the significance of what's happening, even if they don't understand the game, they don't play the game, whatever. And that's one of our big problems, is that the tournaments that are hosted for a lot of esports, StarCraft being the exception, because it's been around the longest, is we're streaming fighting games for fighting gamers, and that's a problem. That's a problem because unless you know it, the scene isn't really going to grow. It's hard. It's a hard barrier of entry. You can't just watch it while you're having lunch if you don't know what's going on, and that's a problem. Right? So.
Yeah, no, that's a big deal, and I like this. Like I said, it's very much becoming the NFL and less about arena football and other bullshit you don't care about. It's like, okay, we're becoming the NFL. Here's where you come to watch esports.
Yeah.
And eventually, like I said, it can build. I'm really excited about this, but other than I'm really excited about this. I hope this like really pans out.
And not only that, we're gonna jump to the next topic real quick, but the other most important thing is that this creates a unified calendar. You don't have to check a bunch of different websites to find who's gonna play. You can just look and see what the schedule is for your tournament, for your game, for your players, all in one convenient calendar. And that not only makes it easier for the players to be able to go to a wide variety of tournaments because they don't have to worry about conflicting tournaments and choose which one is which. But us as the viewers can look and say, oh my God, I can plan out, oh, I'm going to have Monday night football nights, like you said, you know, sitting down and watching the match every night, watching it these nights, that night. You know, you can schedule for yourself when you're going to see it. It's not just like you said, oh, someone posted on Facebook and I just kind of realize that the stream is happening right now. I got to see it. Oh God, I watched. I'm like already at the top four. I can't see the rest of the tournament. So,
exactly. I'm really excited because nothing was better than having those Laker games in my house. That was. Yeah. I miss it.
So let's talk. Speaking of excited, we talked about this game a bunch last podcast, and we felt like we talked about it enough that we deserved to give it a little bit of a preview. For this podcast, Gods Among Us, Injustice Gods Among Us is NetherRealm's next game that they're working on. It's scheduled for release April 2013. And this game is going to be so cool.
I don't want to hype it up. I'm always bracing myself for disappointment. But the more I see about this game, the more excited I am about it. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, oh man, I watched that Green Arrow video. I'm like, I can't wait to irritate everyone in the world with those fucking arrows. It rock hard.
And for those of you, the game is basically all DC superheroes, Superman, Batman, all that stuff. It's a fighting game. It's, you know, 2D, strictly 2D fighter. Just like you would imagine Mortal Kombat, if you've played any Mortal Kombat games. Four buttons. It's all you have. You have light attack, medium attack, heavy attack, and then there's a button that is a special button for each character. It depends on the character. So Green Lantern uses his ring. Batman uses gadgets, like that kind of a thing. And that button system has shown success with a lot of different games, with King of Fighters being a great example, because it's easy to learn, it's easy to get into, and you're just like, I don't have to memorize what, you know, different punches and kicks and this. It's just light attack, medium attack, heavy attack.
Yeah, fuck that. Arc System Works made that really, really work with Blaze Blue.
Because
I'm like, my special button is, it was important. It was special to me.
Yeah.
All the things you did came out, everything that made your character came out of that button. And then like, when you couldn't use that button, you felt like some schmuck fighting off to use that button.
Yep.
That, I don't know, the fourth button and then the special button just really, really, like, click with me in fucking Blaze Blue.
And it makes your character feel unique to the other characters.
Exactly.
That is the most important thing, especially for people that want to get into the game. It makes your character unique so that you pick up a character and it won't feel the same as the other characters. I mean, you know, normally characters are defined by their special moves. Now they're defined by their special moves and this button that is allowing, that gives them personality, it gives them flair, it makes them fun to watch and fun to play as. And that's going to be great. And it's not, I mean, there's a lot of reviews out there that are saying it's the same as Mortal Kombat. And it's not true.
No, that's bullshit. Because first of all, you don't have a block button, which is the most counterintuitive thing I've ever had in my life. Because I don't, like, whenever someone's trying to punch you in the face and you put your hands up in that weird kind of girly motion, like, no, you don't think push a button. You just think, oh, God, you just fall back.
Get away.
So holding back is the most natural way to block to me. Yeah. You're just kind of like, no. But to hit a button has always fucked me up in Mortal Kombat games.
And it's going to make it easier for people to have different ways of attacking. They can attack from different angles. You can't just hold a button down and only have to worry about getting attacked high or getting attacked low. You have to be worried about both sides of your body. If people jump to the other side, they teleport. I mean, it's going to make it so that it's a much more fast-paced game because you're not going to have a button that will just lock you down. And the thing I'm excited for is they're going to have stages that are different, that you can use the environment a little bit to help you. And the way that they described it was really, really quite good, because they described it in a way that made it sound like they're going to balance it, right? And it's not going to be everybody goes to play training stage and nobody wants to play any of the stages that have some flair to them. They said treat the environmental hazards like your character has another special move.
No, it's pretty awesome, because watching Superman beat someone with a flying car makes me smile.
Yeah.
Or watching Nightwing flip off of a car and then shoot Superman is amazing to me. It's exactly what I want out of it. It's weird, because like I said, like, as soon as I heard about it, I'm like, this game is going to be absolute bullshit. And in every video I see, it's just like, oh my God, they get it, and this is awesome. And like I said, the Green Arrow video, I'm like, oh, the zoner boner in me just got so hard. I'm like, I need to play this game.
And
I need to shoot people
job.
With arrows.
They've done a good job. They've done a good job of making it feel, because the other mechanic in this, which we're going to talk about in a minute, the gambling mechanic, it makes it feel like it doesn't feel like the match is static. You know, you're not just standing in front of a building and fighting in the parking lot. You travel through buildings, you travel into space, you go, you know, through walls, through the floor, you go everywhere. So it feels like the battle is if you had a battle between superheroes that is raging across a city or a landscape.
Let me just say how important, like, Mortal Kombat encapsulated the whole, like Street Fighter. There's niggas throwing fireballs and uppercuts, and you're just like, and everyone's just A-OK, like, my suit's okay. Mortal Kombat, when the guy, like, when you beat a guy and he barely beats you, and in Mortal Kombat he looks at the camera and he's missing an eyelid, you feel like, yeah, I made that dude fucking work for that win. And, like, Mortal Kombat makes that feel epic. Like, and I hope they really bring that to... Because, like, just something about Nightwing getting knocked through a building and hitting his chin on a pipe as he flies through the roof. Like, oh, Nightwing's hurt. So, like, even if he wins, he had to work for that win. Like, he is not okay.
It's fun to watch, too. Like, you know, when you watch the tournaments and guys are playing Katana, you would laugh because she'd win, and then she'd get this, her face would be all fucked up, and she'd have this fat shiner, and the camera would zoom in, and she'd wink at the camera with her black eye. And you just gotta laugh and be like, that was an awesome fight. That was so cool.
You're in it, man. You feel it. Like, oh, man. Like, oh, you shouldn't beat a pretty bitch like that. Man. It's like, we gotta put Ike Turner. Like, hit her in the wig, dude. Don't hit her in the face. She's gotta go on stage. But you feel so bad. Like, I don't know. I can't, like I said, it's really, I don't want to hype it up because, like, I'm used to disappointment. God help me. I'm used to disappointment. But Injustice God Among Us just looks so fucking awesome.
Let's talk for one more minute about the gamble system that they have. They're playing with it. They might not keep it, but, you know, they're kind of on and off. There's articles talking about, you know, one of the lead game designers quoting that they might not keep this system in. But I think they should. And it's basically it's sort of like a combo break system. Basically, two players do a move, or one player does a move and hits the other player with the move. It goes into a cutscene, you know. So Superman picks you up, he's dragging you through buildings, and what you do is you take meter, which is, you know, your resource to use super moves, and you gamble meter. So you wager meter, and whoever ends up wagering more meter, or, you know, ends up winning this cutscene thing and losing a bunch of health. And so it's one of those things where, you know, it adds an extra aspect of tension where you see these two players and you're watching the fight and they're going through the building and Batman and Green Lantern are fighting in the building and they both gamble and then, you know, there's the battle turns depending on who gambles more and then it goes back to the 2-on-2 fighting again. And I think it's a system that they should keep in the game. I think it's something that makes it unique and that is a great it's a cool way of doing combo breakers and having a disrupt, like, you want things that disrupt the flow of the match a little bit. You know, you want things that'll shake it up but that still have competitive,
competitive feel.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I like it more than I like, Ultimate Marvel's, thing where you just spin your D stick when someone's doing a combo on you.
Oh yeah. You mash.
I hate that. I fucking hate that. But I do like the idea of you saying, you know what? I don't want this dude to finish this combo. I'm going to burn all of my meter just to make sure he can't do that.
Yeah.
I like that. It's risk and reward. Or being that one where you're like, I don't think he's going to use all his meter, so I'm just going to give one bar meter. And yeah. I like that. I like the gambling system more than I like the whole just spin and win.
Yeah.
Spin that joystick and pray to God.
Yeah. And there's no tension to it because there's no – in Marvel, you know, when you get knocked in the air and what Savage is talking about, you can do a combo where you basically bounce your enemy between all of the members of your team, bounce them off the wall, off the ceiling, and you have to basically enter the same button that the enemy player inputs at the same time, and it breaks the combo. And so you end up just, like, seeing these players just, like, spinning on the joystick and mashing their launcher buttons. And then it, like – but it happens so fast because it'll get popped up in the air, a little bit of damage will happen, and then it'll just break. But with this, you're watching them just fight, right? Just go at it for, you know, 5-10 seconds, and then it's like, boom, this guy's the one that won. And then they come out and are all hurt, and then they go back to fighting again. It's great. It's awesome. I can't tell you.
I hope it stays. Like I said, I'm just bracing myself for disappointment.
Yeah.
But I am really, really, really excited for this game because everything I see about it makes me think that it's going to be awesome. Because it could very well be like, okay, I just got to get good at this NetherRealms game. Like,
Yeah.
Forget the rest of it. Oh, that's a lie. I'm still going to play Blaze Blue because I got to get my Articuno on. But the rest of them, I'm like, screw it. I got to play my Green Arrow. I got to get my Ollie in there. Got to shoot some arrows at these schmucks. Going to have Solomon Grundy hit me with tombstones, which is that's so epic. God bless it. Like, I don't know. I'm really excited about that game.
So let's move on to our main topic. Let's talk. So, but last time we talked about how to get into fighting games, what games to pick. We both had our own opinions on it. And so now you picked a game, right? And you picked a game, and there's all these characters, and they're all different. And, you know, there's all these different things, and they all have different moves and different strengths and weaknesses. I mean, maybe you even went so far as to look online and see, you know, and you're reading about, oh, this character is apparently stronger than this character in this situation, and this character's got like a 7-3 win ratio against this character. And it's all just so confusing because it, you know, there's so much. And how do you choose characters, right? So let's, first of all, let's tell you how we chose our characters. So Savage, so your favorite character in fighting games, tell me about him and tell me why you picked him.
In all fighting games? Because that's a tough call.
Well, but, in the games that we've been playing recently.
Oh man, no, I gotta go with Articuno for Blaze Blue because I love zoners. And Articuno is like this weird mix where they wanted a zoner that had to do rush down, which is a little upsetting, but God bless it anyway. I love characters that control space. Because I'm not sure if you've ever been in a real fight. But getting punched in the face hurts like fuck. And like, so when I play a game, I want that to happen as little as possible.
Yeah.
So every character I enjoy playing, I enjoy controlling space as much as possible. That's why I like Vega, Sagat. Oh, my man, Sagat. But those tie kicks.
Yeah.
It's like fireballs, and they jump in on you, and you're just like, tie kick! Eat that foot, baby! And they just get back off me. I love that.
Well, and that's the point, is, and for those of you that don't know, so when we talk about rushdown, zone, I mean, we're going to talk about it a little more when we talk about, you know, how you guys can pick your characters and different styles that people play. But the basic gist of it is, zoning means you're attacking from a distance and you're keeping them at a distance. Rushdown means you are right in their face and you're trying to, you know, manhandle them at close range. And so Savage's preference is to fight at a distance. And for me, I'm the opposite, right? So my favorite, I love Zangief from Street Fighter, my man Zangief.
He's a monster.
He's a monster, and I love Tager from Blaze Blue, and, you know, I love Hagar in Ultimate Marvel. And I love the way I pick my character, because that's what the point of this is. If you notice, when Savage was talking about it, he said nothing about how strong a character was, how weak a character was, what they were good at, what they were bad at. He picked his character based on a feel, right? On a philosophy that he had in his head, and because based on how the character looked as well,
that's
something we want to encourage. So I picked Zangief because he's a huge Russian. He doesn't wear a shirt. He's got like this huge, you know, big old tuft of chest hair, and he's like 500 pounds of muscle, and he wears, you know, he's just got boots and these tidy whiteys, and he runs around with his mohawk.
He rubs his balls on the back of people's necks.
Yeah, and he grabs you and he dumps you on his head. And when I was, you know, looking at him, his storyline is that he would in Russia to train to be a wrestler because he's a wrestler. He would go off into the woods and wrestle bears in the tundra, and he learned his special move because he was pile driving a bear in the snow, and a tornado picked him up while he was doing it. And so it spun him around, and he dropped the bear on his head, and he's like, oh, my God, that's a great idea for a wrestling move. And I love that. I love that kind of character. He's big, and he gets in there. You know, he's tough, and he grabs you, and he manhandles you, dumps you on your head. And that has nothing to do with how strong he is or anything. So the consistent thing between Savage and my stories is you pick a character based on how he looks. If you're like, this character looks awesome, I love his costume. I love the way his hair looks. I love his voice. I love anything. Cosmetic is important for picking a character.
That is very because, true.
And so that's one, cosmetic. The second thing is feel. You play the character. Well, does it feel like something you – does the character feel good? You know, do you like the way they move? Do you like the way their moves look? Does it feel good when you kick them with, you know, your heavy kick or hit them with your super? Like, it's so important. And that requires a little bit of experimentation. But you'll know it when you see it, you know.
That's true. Yeah. It's just one of those things like – I hate to keep bringing up Blaze Blue, but Hosma – I love his style, but I don't like the way he plays, so I don't play him.
Yeah.
And it's just one thing. But I love the way he walks around like a psycho Michael Jackson. It's just like, oh, I can dig this, but he is totally not my guy because I just don't like the way he plays.
Yeah, and so you play the character, and you don't have to know how the character's supposed to be played. You don't have to know any of that. All you have to know is you pick up the controller, you move around with him, you play arcade mode, and you see his character's kind of fun. I like Cody. He throws rocks, he punches tornadoes at people, he's wearing a prison suit, he's wearing handcuffs. He's kind of cool. I like him. And
that's
then,
the most important, because I will say one of my favorite characters in any fighting game was Zato1/Eddie from Guilty Gear, and he's a rushdown character. But I saw him, and all I ever did with him was zone people, and I loved the way he looked, and I just made him work.
Yeah. Yeah. And when when we went through this, you have to pick a character, and I cannot stress this enough. If you find a character that you like, and I know there's going to be a lot, because especially if you play a game like Street Fighter, there's a lot of characters, and you might like a handful of them. You need to pick one. You need to pick one. You pick the girl you're gonna marry, and if you want, you can pick a mistress, but you gotta pick one. And that seems like a huge commitment, right? Like, oh, I gotta pick this character, I gotta learn him. What if I wanna play other characters, and what if I wanna learn more about this, that, and the other thing? That's fine. But from your mental perspective, when you're like, I'm learning the game, learn the game with your character. Learn it with your character. Don't pick up, you know, six different characters and just, you know, mess around with all of them, you know, equally, because what you're going to end up doing is you're not really going to know how to play the game, you know, based on any of them. You know, you're not going to really know what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and what we're about to talk about next is what your style is going to be in the game. But you're not going to know that unless you take a character and you just play them, and you pick a character that when you pick your girl you're going to marry, you pick your mistress, right?
Yeah,
that's your main character. You got your off character that you're willing to just mess around with when you just get bored of playing your main character. And that's the other thing. If you get bored playing the character, pretty good indication he might not be a character for you. Okay,
it's true. I mean, like I committed to Ken for years, and then that's what made me really realize that I love zoning characters. Because I'm like, I just am so tired of his limited options on keeping people away from him, and I ended up moving to zoning characters.
And you talked about it last time when you told the story about you and your cousin fighting. You picked Ken because you wanted to beat characters with a white boy, and he picked Ryu because he wanted to be the ultimate warrior. Has nothing to do with how many moves he's got and what priority his special moves have and how much damage he does and anything. It has nothing to do with that, okay?
It's just at all.
it was
all about the pissing contest.
So that's that. Pick a character that you love cosmetically. That's a great gateway. You like a character's look. Play them. If you find things, you'll have these little ticks that go off in your head. It'll be like, oh man, I like the way that move looks. Oh, that felt really good when I did this little like 3-hit combo. This character. Oh, I really like this super that he's got. You know, that I love to hit people with that. That feels good. That's focus. Focus on that. Zone in on it. You gotta latch in and you gotta go for it. You know? And that has to be the character that you are focusing on when you're practicing the game, when you're trying to learn. So, and again, you pick a character, so you pick a character and you start to lose. because you're gonna.
The worst thing you can do
is take this character and say, for example, I play Zangief, and I say, I lost to Sagat 10 times in a row. Sagat just has a bunch of moves. He's just not a good matchup for me. He just has moves that just beat mine, and I just, I don't have the tools to beat Sagat. That is the worst thing, and it's not true, that you can say to yourself. It's the worst thing. Because the way you're going to learn is by playing against characters that will beat you and learning why they beat you by getting beaten and by winning against them. You have to find, you have to take the tools that are given to you, because the characters, people talk about balance and top tier and low tier characters, more powerful characters, weaker characters.
Tier lists are the worst.
It's the worst, right? And why? Because if you pick a character that you like, that will carry you farther than if you pick a character that is quote-unquote good. Carry you farther. Because you'll care more, you'll have more fun playing it, and you'll want to practice with them.
You will make it work. If you're having fun and you're like, I want this guy to win, you will make it work. Like I said, I made a Rush Young character work as a zoner because I'm like, I just love this gay guy with a shadow. It's like, I'm making this work. And I just spent years making that guy work as a zoning character. And then, it was literally, almost 10, Guilty Gear X came out. So it was 8 years or some shit like that before I saw a YouTube video. And I'm like, man, they just keep rushing people down. And I looked and I found, I found Dustloop. And they're like, oh, yeah, Zatsa 1 is, a crazy good rushdown character. I'm supposed to be rushing people? I've been zoning them since I had a Dreamcast, so that was just my thing for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because I just love that character. I'm like, I'm going to kill people with my shadow and look pretty in the corner. And I just did that for the longest time.
So pick a character. It doesn't matter why you like them. If you like them for any, it could be the stupidest reason. If you like them, you will play them and you'll learn them and you'll have fun. Because what is the point of this? We want to have fun, right? We're playing to have fun. We're not playing, to win every game. And you will win. If you have a character that you like and that you want to practice with, you'll win. And if you lose, you'll have fun losing, which seems weird to people. But it's important. It's essential. It's essential that you think about this in terms of, I have a character I like, I'm going to learn this character. And when you do that, you're going to learn the game if you learn the character, right?
It's true. Yeah, it's true. Me and my little cousin like playing Guy, because there's something about a ninja beating up people in Converse.
Yeah.
That just makes us laugh. I'm like, oh, I'm a ninja, but I still have my chucks.
Yeah.
It just makes me laugh.
So we got your character. You got your character. You picked a character, or you have somewhere to start. You have a couple that you're going to decide on after you played a little bit.
Hopefully he's a zoner.
Hopefully he's a rushdown character, because that's great. And so that's what we're talking about next. You hear people talk a lot about their style, and you hear about this a lot when you watch videos. People are like, oh, he's a rushdown style. He has a zone style. And people think to themselves, well, how do I pick what my style is? What is my style? What should I be focusing on? Well, I read that Zangief, works up close, so I should do that. But I don't really like fighting up close with Zangief. I don't know. I like poking people at a distance with my legs and just, body splashing people and just kind of countering them. I don't really like doing that. Great. That's great. Don't listen to them. They're lying to you. Don't listen to them. Okay? If you have a character, and what you're going to discover is based on, Savage gave the analogy of, I don't like getting punched in the face in a real fight, so I want to play a character that stays away, right?
It's the best way to do it, man.
Yeah, I like imposing my will on people, so I like rushdown. I like being in their face, right? And I love the feeling of you grab someone and they just have to watch you pick their character up and dump them on their head, right? And it's a seed, what that is. It's the same thing as a character. You have a little seed where you have a mindset that you started with. So me, I'm like, man, I just like getting in people's faces, and I just love dumping this dude on his head with Zangief. And Savage is like, man, I just love shooting and cursing people and teleporting everywhere.
Distance makes the heart fonder, my friend.
Yeah.
It's the heart fonder.
It does for you, but not for me. I want to be close to my baby all the time. So, yeah.
Zangief, man. See, now you got me all... Now you got me all upset. I'm thinking about him with his little pedo grab, and he rubs his balls on the back of your neck. And I'm like, dude, just stop. Why can't you wear pants? It's upsetting.
If you guys can't tell, I have this big old grin on my face right now because I'm thinking about it too. But yeah, so what is your style? The answer is it doesn't matter. You're going to pick a style based on what you like about the character. You know, it's really what it is. So if your favorite move on Ryu is fireball, you're probably going to end up with a zoning style because you're going to love using that fireball, right? If your favorite move of Zangief is a spinning pile driver, you're probably going to be more of a rushdown kind of guy because you love dumping people on your head with the pile driver. If you play Arakune and you love the way his combos work where you get cursed and then bugs fly across the screen and you're like, oh, you know, all the way over here and they're all the way over there, you love the idea of manipulating shit from across the screen. It just feels good to you. You're going to develop a zoning style, you know? So the answer is, you're going to develop it based on a seed of what you like about the character you pick. And that's why we say picking a character that you love is so important, because it will take you to what your natural style is. It'll take you there. You know, because you said with Eddie you love the drills. Like, that's why you zone.
Drills, you know? Being able to dip underground when people rush you down and move away from them. The whole little shark thing, I love it. I love all his escape moves. And, like, before they changed it, the buzzsaw was great because it was like, hey, fuck off. I can make a buzzsaw on my shadow. Or that damn dog that just jumps at people. God.
You developed it because you felt that way, right?
God damn it. I love that guy. I miss him so much.
So the answer is it doesn't matter. Pick. It's going to develop based on first, the seed that you like about your character, and then second, it's going to be based on your personality, you know? If you're not a patient person, like I'm not, then you are going to love you like to attack constantly. Then you're probably going to develop kind of a rushdown style. If you like playing defensively, if you like countering people and... You know, you don't like as much of a gamble. You like just kind of staying out there and just hitting them safe every time. Just boom, 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 boom. And you love you love frustrating people is what you love. You know, then zoning is what you're going to develop. And what we're saying, again, your style will develop based on a seed that you love about your character plus your personality, right? Plus how you feel the game should be played. You know, and there's no right way. There is no right way to play Zato 1. There is no right way to play Iron Tager. You know, there's a million ways to do it. And you see it every day, the people having different styles with these characters. That's what makes this genre so compelling. You know?
It's true. It's true.
So
yeah, I can't wait for something like a zoning Zangief.
He spams
butt pats. I would love it.
Well, there are players that don't focus on the spinning pile driver. They just sit and they'll poke you with his legs. And they'll use his butt pat and slap out projectiles. And they'll just stay like not right in front of you. They'll stay like halfway across the screen and just slowly beat you to death with their normal moves. So we talked about the character. We talked about what your style is. And guys, closing notes on our main topic here. Is you gotta find one that you love for no reason. It could be anything, and you have to stick with them. You have to stick with them because you're not going to. I mean, yes, the fundamentals are the same between the characters in the game, but the way that you learn how to use those fundamentals is going to be based with a character, and so you need to have a character that you like in order for you to learn the fundamentals. And that seems kind of counterintuitive because it's like, you know, last time we were talking about, oh, you know, fundamentals between games is what's important because if a character doesn't have options, you know, you're dependent on their special moves. But, you know, you have to have a character that you like in order to learn the fundamentals. You have to, or you're just not gonna do it. You're just not gonna do it. You're just gonna spam moves that, you know, you're like, I don't really care, and you're gonna end up putting, you know, taking the game back to GameStop.
Sure. Well, you won't take it back. You'll just live with it. It'll sit on your shelf, and it'll just stare at you every time you think about. Every time we think about it, it'll just look at you, judging you.
So let's move right along. Let's move into our character of the week this week. Is Savage's favorite supervillain.
By far my favorite supervillain. He is so evil. I love it. Dr. Doom, man. God. You know what? That's what upsets me about Ultimate Marvel, is I suck at playing Dr. Doom, but fuck if I don't try, because he's my favorite villain. I feel bad. Every time I lose with Dr. Doom, I feel like, I'm like, oh, Victor, I did you dirty, man. I should have done better with your... Which is by far my favorite little meme, is the YOLO foot dive with Dr. Doom in Ultimate Marvel, where you're like, fuck it, foot dive.
Chip in on him with your heels and just hope for the best.
I love it. I love that fucking just pray and just go. Like, please let me hit this motherfucker. I love it. Oh,
again,
God.
That goes back to what we were saying again. You have to, like, you feel it. You're like, I don't want to let Doom down. That's your character, right? That's perfect.
Oh, I love it, man.
It's just what you need. So Dr. Doom is a huge, you'll see, if you watch any Ultimate Marvel matches, he is on almost every team that sits in the top eight. You'll see him a lot in competitive play. And that is because, I would say that's because of two things. The first is he has an assist called Hidden Missiles. And people haven't been using it much because they're trying to be unique, and that's cute. But it's still a ridiculous assist where he jumps on the screen, he snaps his fingers really fast, and missiles fly out of the ground, and they fly off screen. And even if you hit, no matter what happens, the missiles will hit your character. They're homing missiles. And so even if you hit Dr. Doom or you hit the enemy player, the missiles don't go away. They'll always hit you. So it's a great way to disrupt people in the middle of a match. And people will spam them. They'll just call them out and it's like, missiles. And you're just like, okay, I know I have to block in 3 seconds because the missiles will hit me.
God knows I do.
You know?
Just throw those missiles, man. Like, you know what? Well, the real problem is, like, other than his assist being insanely awesome, is that, I hate saying this, but Doom has he almost has too many options.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, he can rush you down, he can shoot you with his plasma beam, or his, molecular shield, which most people don't use, but...
Finger lasers. Fingers.
He gives you the little spirit fingers. I like thinking of, like, little tickle fingers. He kind of diddles them, and he shoots lasers at them. But the point is like, he has so many options, and then he can move. He's mobile. He's dangerous at any range. And then his assist is totally, I'll say it, broken. So it's one of those things where you always see pros be able to do a combo and then stop and block his missiles. I've always seen pros do that. Online, you ruin people all the time with those fucking missiles. Because they'll be like, I'm doing the combo. I learned this in challenge mode. And they eat those missiles.
So how do you... So, you know, he's got that. And he is a quintessential character of Ultimate Marvel, in my opinion. Because if he hits you with one move, he is able to combo into almost a touch of death, if not a touch of death combo. He hits you with one foot dive, and you're on the ground, you're going to eat half your life in damage, if not all of it. Because his combos are pretty simple. He's got a lot of variations. He's like Dante. He's got a lot of combos.
Curb stomp, man. He hits you with the yellow foot dive, and he hits you with the electric curb stomp. And you're just his until it's over.
So how do you play against him, you know? Like, what do you do to stop the ultimate... The ultimate supervillain.
You know, I feel bad because I feel like I have the shittiest advice. It's literally, don't let that nigga touch you. Like, and it's like, it's really shitty advice. It's like, yo, dog, don't get beat up in that ring. You know, I feel like that's terrible advice, but it's like, don't eat the yellow foot dive. don't let that dude touch you, because as soon as he touches you, if he has the meter, because at worst, he's going to have to burn 3 meters, put you in the rape chamber, and you don't know what the rape chamber is, and he sits on a throne, puts you in this test tube, and lets you use the shit out of you until he's done, and then he blows you up. Yes, and he can die.
You in like one hit. It's great.
It's ridiculous. I love it. But you just don't want him to touch you.
Well, and so that's the thing, and that's difficult because Doom has so many options to be able to touch you. You know, he can do it. And so I would suggest because I'm playing against a lot of Dooms online in Marvel, and you see it a lot in competitive play too when they have Doom, especially with the hidden missile assists. I have one word for you. Beam attack. Okay? One word for you. Because what you want to be able to do, and this sounds, it's going to sound counterintuitive, but I'll explain. You want to be able to trade with Doom. Okay? You want to be able to make it so that Doom can't just throw out foot dives and throw out missiles willy-nilly. If he's an assist, Doom pops on the screen and you're playing Ryu, doesn't matter what's happening, blow your ultimate. Even if you just hit him a couple of times, you know, you'll do a quarter to a third of his life in damage. Make them rethink just throwing Doom out, because that's the biggest thing is people, they're like, I got Doom. He's got a lot of great skills. I'm just going to do whatever with him. And you have to be able to, if you have something, whether it's an assist, Hagar's assist is great, Iron Man is great. You have something where you can trade with him when he does things. If he's on point, you have an assist that can cover your bases, eat a foot dive. You have something that can trade with a foot dive, you know, an ultra or a super or a special move or anything. Find what that is for your character that you can use to trade with Doom. Because Doom doesn't have a hell of a lot of life.
You know, no. He's not a high life. He's not as low as Magneto, who's got the health of a fucking 14-year-old schoolgirl. But, like, Doom does not have a lot of health. But that's true. If you can trade with them, it doesn't work with pros. I've seen pros just throw Doom's life away, which upsets me as a Doom. I'm like, dog, they're shooting Doom's like, fuck it. Hidden missiles. Just get one missile out, Doom. Throw his life away. They don't care.
And that's like, important. Get out there. People are jumping on it. They see him, and they're like, oh, Doom's out. Beam attack, super attack, like anything they can do, you know, to hit him and just punish them for pulling Doom out. They don't want Doom until he's on point, and if they can, they just want to kill him. Because I guarantee you, they bring Doom out, you hit him with a beam attack or two, or even better, you hit him with an invincible super, or you hit him with a beam super that just goes straight through. The reason I say beam is because even if they block it, it can still hit Doom in the back. It'll still go through, it'll pierce through them and hit Doom in the back. And so if you have a beam super like Ryu's super Hadouken, Doom pops out, throw out the Hadouken. Even if a missile comes out and you're like, oh god, I'm gonna get hit by the missile. If Doom stands there for a second while he's snapping his spirit fingers, if you hit him with one or two supers, I mean even one, and you hit him a little bit, they're gonna rethink bringing Doom back out again. You know, unless you're a pro player, and again, the pros do it like you said. They'll bring him out, and the other players will they'll kill him. They'll do whatever they can to stop him from using those supers, and that's why you see, you know. And I'm sure people will argue with us that Doom's not that bad, and you know there's ways to beat Doom that isn't like
he's
this.
Not bad. He's the worst. And he's the worst at the same time because he's amazing. Okay.
The only weakness Doom has is that people play him a lot, and so people know what he can do in and out, and that's one of the only weaknesses that he has. So now knowledge is power against Doom, but you can't let Doom manhandle you. You can't let him do it. You have to make it so that he rethinks when to use his options as opposed
to killing
him. That's
right. You have to stand up to him. You have to tell him. He has to kiss you before he fucks you. You have to be stern with Doom.
Or
right? You can be willy-nilly.
You throw out an assist that Doom can foot dive, and then you just go for him.
That's true.
Punish him for it.
Doom is weak to free pussy. He sees the assist, he's gotta take it. Because Doom loves his free pussy. You throw that Morgana out there, he's like, oh, gotta do it. YOLO foot dive.
YOLO foot dive.
He's in it.
So that's what we'd say. If you're playing Doom, we kind of talked a little bit about it. You want to be careful with Doom, because he is powerful and people hate him. And so if you're going to use Doom, all you got to do is hit him once, but don't take that as an excuse to just throw out a bunch of moves and hope one hits. You know, Doom has to have a pretty safe approach. You have to have an assist that can shoot fireballs while Doom runs, that can block for him, that can do all sorts of things to get Doom to hit you and make it count, you know. And because his supers don't do all that much damage. I mean, his level 3, which is the rape chamber, as Savage called it, so poetically, is...
Hey, it tells you exactly what it does.
Yeah, it puts you in a chamber and it electrocutes you until you're dead. But yeah, you need to be cautious about when you use those foot dives. Don't throw them out. And, you know, if you're playing Doom on point, don't be afraid to use hidden missiles with an assist to cover you. You know, it's going to look the same whether he's an assist or not. Use the missiles and use stuff to cover you so that they can't punish your moves. Because if a player knows Doom's options and they know what they've got, they're going to counter you with whatever that move is that I just talked about. You know, with their super or with the Shoryuken, with anything that's going to stop Doom's foot dive or stop his ridiculous set of beam attacks and options. So that's our character of the week, ladies and gentlemen. That's Doom.
Victor Von Doom.
And again, you know, Doom was suggested to us by a vast majority of people, and so, you know, we chose Doom. Next week we're gonna pick a character again based on what the community has to say, and it can be from any fighting game. It doesn't have to just be the Capcom games that we just did. We did Ryu last time, Doom this time. Send us an email, keepitclassypodcast@gmail.com. You know, we don't say that enough on the podcast, but we really, really love feedback from you guys, and we really want your response. And so, you know, Doom was a great response. We want to see what you guys need next. You know, we want to help you guys out, and we just want to talk with you about it because, you know, we all have those pet peeves for characters, I'm sure. If I wrote in, I would write all about Arakune. And but yeah, write us keepitclassypodcast@gmail.com. So what we're going to do last, with what time we have left, we got a bunch of different emails from people, a bunch of different questions from people asking, you know, about the podcast, asking about us, and just asking some advice. So the best, we're going to pick One of our listeners gave us two questions in one of his emails, and both of them I thought were pretty good. So we're going to do one, and if we have time, we're going to do the other. So, Flufums, this is for you, man. Thank you for sending us an email. Thank you for listening. And so Flufums asks, what are our bad habits? What are the bad habits of Keep It Classy, of the Keep It Classy team? And how does one get past bad habits? Because we talked a lot about it last time, developing them when you have a bad mindset. And how do I avoid picking up bad habits with characters and playing games? So, Savage, what are your bad habits?
Oh, God. I am overly reactionary. If I get cornered, I react the exact same way every single time. It is the worst. And the only way I can react to that is by getting my ass kicked and constantly thinking, don't do what you want to do every time. It is the most painstaking thing I've ever gone through in my life. But if you get me in the corner and I can't get away, I will react the same way every time unless I'm constantly thinking, don't do it, Savage. Don't do it. I know you want to, but don't do it. He's going to give you an overhead. Just block high. It's hard. It's difficult. It's just knowing that every time someone puts pressure on you, you're like, okay, all right, breathe. I know what you want to do, but don't do it. You got to do something different.
Well, and that's the thing is you are recognizing a pattern with yourself. We want to put this in your head. If you get hit, comboed, beat, whatever, there is nothing random in these games. If you get hit by a move, it's because something happened along the way that it was not random, okay, needless to say. The reason So get out of this mindset, because it happens on a case-by-case basis. It happens to me all the time. My bad habit is I like to close my eyes and just dash in there. I don't care how bad it hurts. And I like to convince myself that the audacity of someone hitting me with a certain move makes me think that they're not going to do it again. You know, I'm like, oh, he hit me with a friggin', you woke up and just hit me with a dragon punch. How, you know, yeah, the scrubbiest thing in the world. Yeah. And then he does it again and I get hit with it again. It's not because he's doing something scrubby. It's because I'm letting him do it. Right. And so you have to recognize I'm getting hit by a move. I'm getting hit by a style. I'm losing to a certain character's tool set. And why? You don't think to yourself, it's because I don't have this, I don't have that. It's because you're not using what you do have. So, you know, and what you do have, the most important thing is a brain. It's a brain that can think, I have a pattern here. So for Savage, it's whenever I get in a corner, I just get destroyed. I just get destroyed by the same move over and over again. That's a pattern that I have. How do I stop doing that? And part of it is like what you said, Savage, is thinking to yourself, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You know, you have to start and think.
Especially if you're playing online. Oh, God, I got hiccups, really? If you're online and you have like a 10-win winning streak, and one dude just starts pummeling you, and you're just thinking, you start falling on those bad habits, God damn, you sick. When you fall on these bad habits, you gotta think, okay, don't do that. I have tools to get away from this. God damn it!
I love it. For those of you that are listening right now, Savage's internet connection is not the problem. It is his hiccups.
Whatever. You know what? You try drinking a bunch of water and eating Chinese food and getting hiccups. Okay, it's more difficult than it sounds.
So anyway, so you have to be ready to recognize your patterns. You know, admitting you have a problem is the first step to getting past it. And don't fall into the trap that it's random or a person is better than me or a character is better than me. It's happening because you're not using what you have available to you as best as you could. Okay? And you have to think, what can I do to stop this? And how can I practice? So, you know, for me, it's... You know, if I'm running in, I'm getting hit, and I die on my way in, and I'm getting hit by obvious moves, I stop to myself and I'll say, block. Just block. It doesn't matter what you're blocking. Just block. You know, I know you want to attack. I know. Just block. You know he's going to do something. Just block. Don't try and trade with him. Just block. You know, and it's my biggest bad habit is I never, ever block. I mean, I block. But it's only to get closer to attack. It's never in a way that is in any way to protect my character or put him in an advantageous position. It's just on the way in, you know, if I remember. And that's the thing, is you have to recognize what your pattern is. And everybody has it. And, you know, don't – you're going to think of a lot at once. Don't get hung up on just one – on all of them. Pick one. Pick one thing that you want to get better about. You want to do better at blocking. You want to do better when you get put in the corner. You want to have better reactions when someone jumps in on you. Anything. Pick one thing that you see that is consistently getting you killed and think about how to get past it. What tools do you have? And, you know, a lot of it is trial and error, experimenting. But I guarantee you, you have an option for everything that is out there. There is something you can do. You can think about it. And even if that's don't get in that situation, there's ways to not get in the situation that your character has. So that's what we would say for avoiding bad habits. How are your hiccups doing, man? You feeling?
They're doing better. I think the rage helped me on my hiccups. I'm just thinking about all the times I lost the tag because of bad habits. And I just got
hiccups
right there.
There you go. So, all right. So that was an awesome question. Hopefully that's a little bit helpful to you, Fluffums, that, you know, recognize, pick one at a time, recognize the fact that what's happening to you is not random and that you have options. I promise you can find them. You know, it's going to depend on what your character is, and it's going to depend on the situation you're in, which is how people get kind of hung up. So that's a great question. I think we have some time, so we'll answer the second question as well. So we talked a little bit off the cuff kind of about Smash Bros. And those kinds of games before. He asked an interesting question about what makes a competitive fighting game, right? The Smash Bros. And you know, Dragon Ball Z Budokai and those kinds of games are not seen in the fighting game. I mean, there's more fighting games out there than what we even talked about in our last podcast. But what is it about these games that makes them not competitive? You know, what is it that, you know, in your opinion, Savage, makes so these games aren't seen in tournaments, they aren't really a part of the big scene, you know, and what makes that happen? That these, I mean, some of them may be valid, some of them may not be, but why are they not there?
It almost entirely falls on balance. Like, people talk, like, there's tons of people that talk about Smash Bros. Being a viable tournament game, but there's such imbalance between certain characters. Like, imagine if you're watching a basketball game and each team could choose Kobe Bryant as one of their players. It's just not fun to watch. And that's what kills these games. There's such an imbalance between certain characters that if you had a tournament for money, every character would be the same character. And that's what made Street Fighter 4 suck. Like, was it two Evos ago when everyone was playing Yun? Because that guy was so broken, everyone was playing the exact same character.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is it's balance and it's fundamentals. It's, you know, go back to it. There's fundamentals that these games have. Let me talk about what, as an example. So Smash Brothers has a mechanic in there called stumbling. And what that is that you can your character will randomly trip and become vulnerable for a second or two. So, you know, you'll be playing Mario, and you'll dash up to someone, and you'll randomly just face plant. You know, totally out of your control, nothing you can do to limit it, and you can't even turn it off in the options. And that doesn't make for a good competitive game, because what you're not watching two players test their skill against each other. You're sort of watching two players, you know, have a random...
Have a slap fight, really.
Yeah, a random slap fight that doesn't really do it. And, you know, and so that's a good example of a bad mechanic. Or just not enough mechanics, you know. The Naruto Shippuden game is tons of fun to play. And it has some cool stuff. You know, you can play, it's a combination between, like, Power Stone and, you know, I don't know, Soul Calibur. And so you're running around each other, you're attacking, you're dashing in, but the game doesn't have enough fundamental mechanics in it, so that to make the characters balanced. Like, it's one of those things when you get to a competitive scene, you have to know that these players have played this game countless hours, and they have learned every little trick with a character. And a lot of times when we talk about why, you know, a game is imbalanced or a character is imbalanced, it has to do with them exploiting the fundamentals of the game, right? It has to do with them taking something that's basic about the game and making it easier for them to do or easier for them to fight against, you know. And when you have games like this that are designed to be fun, not designed to be fun to watch or, you know, competitive to play, they have fundamentals that can be easily exploited by certain characters, you know, and that's why, that's just why those games aren't seen. And a lot of times, I mean, like with Dragon Ball Z, there's like there's like 70 characters in the game.
Yeah, and it's gonna be no balance. Like, you know, Mr. Satan's not gonna be able to fight against Super Saiyan 4 Goku.
Yeah,
it's just,
and he's not meant to. The game's not balanced that way, so you're not. I mean, the mindset of the producers was not, we want this to, I mean, you know, it has to be in their mind that when they create this game, that they're not trying to just tell a story. They're trying to make a game that people can't exploit, you know? And that's the biggest challenge for developers, is what can't be exploited about our game? you know, while it still has while still keeping it diverse and interesting.
Yeah, it's a thin line. I'm glad I'm not into game development. I'm just here to bitch about it. But yeah, it's a hard line. But that's where a lot of games fall short. Is they just they can't find that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Because like I said, everyone forgave Street Fighter 4 for that tournament, but like you'll never see a Budokai or a Naruto fighting game at Evo.
You won't.
Or what is that? PlayStation Battle Royale? Good God.
Well, they're going to try, but I doubt it's going to pick up the way that they want it to pick up. I don't think that it's going to go the way they want it to go.
I've seen the videos and the reviews. Man, if I see that at Evo, I won't eat my hat, because I like my hat. But I will do something surprising, because that will blow my mind.
So that hopefully that answers your question, Fluffums. Again, guys, keep it classy. That's who we are. And you want to email us and ask us questions and tell us who you want to see on the next show for the Character of the Week. And feel free to give us anything, any advice or criticism or anything that you want to see in the next show. We're really big on talking to the community and hearing what you guys want. So keepitclassypodcast@gmail.com is our email. Just for the last time, I am Keith Barletta, a.k.a. Pockbell, and I'm always, as always, here with my man, David Ivey, a.k.a. Savage.
Uh-huh.
And we're just telling you guys to keep it classy. We'll see you guys next time.